Dear Dhamma friends, we are now come to the next part of the guided mindfulness for young adult session. That is a discussion based on the scripture. Nowadays, we are using the Sutta Nipata, one sutta called Khagga Visana Sutta as our theme. We spent through several weeks now on this sutta. By the way, it has around 40 verses, and one by one we are discussing. And interestingly, it is attributed to Paccheka Buddhas, and every verse represents some sort of a reason why each Paccheka Buddha considers certain aspect of the Dhamma as it has his primary concern. Now, Khagga Visana Sutta, the term translated as rhinoceros horn. So, rhinoceros horn is quite steady, strong, and again a single horn. Now, if we consider various other animals, they have different types of horns, but unlike that, rhinoceros horn is a single one. And again, it is a very strong and steady one. So, that represents the practitioner's life, especially the monk's life. Now, today's verse is actually related to monk's life. And one time there is one king and queen. They actually had a son, prince. This prince is from his childhood is keen on renunciation. He again and again asking to become a monk. Now even today there are various families and their children. They are so keen on becoming a monk. They want to relinquish everything. They want to renunciate. And they want to become a monk. So such aspirations are there in certain people. But as you know, parents don't like to implement it. So they continuously trying to keep them at home and not allowing them to go on their own. So the same thing has happened to this prince. But the prince is also quite determined. And again, he is asking from the father and the mother, king and queen. So ultimately what happened was the king and queen agreed on certain conditions. What are the conditions? So they agreed, they mentioned, okay, we will give you permission, but you have to stay in the royal garden. Royal garden is also with lot of, trees and other wild parts. And so you got to stay there. You can't go anywhere else. So if you agree on that, then we will give you permission. Then ultimately, a prince accepted that permission and he became a monk. Now he is living in the royal garden. Now what happened? Queen, that is the mother. So mother, every morning with many other women, that means attendants. So she's preparing all the meals, you know, this breakfast and everything in terms of today, that is the heel dhane. So now she's carrying breakfast to the monk where he is at the garden. Now, once she go there and she offer everything, and you know, when mothers are started to come to meet the monk, so they have their motherly love, and as much as possible, she want to eat by the son, the monk. So again and again, she is asking him to eat as much as possible. So she spent fair amount of time there, feeding the monk, feeding her son. Now, and again, once monk completed his meal, now mother start to talk this and that. And there are many other women also. And quite a long discussion is going on in the morning time. Now, there's a little break. And then the mother returns. And in the evening, especially at the afternoon, now father, the king, he goes with many other people to the same place, to the same garden, and he start to offer gilampasa and various other stuff to the monk, and he also start to talk. Now this continues again and again. Mother goes with many other women attendants in the morning to offer meals and to discuss in length many different things. So the whole morning is spent because of the mother. Now in the evening and the afternoon, father comes with many other ministers and various other people, and he offers various gilampasa, various say the medicines and fruit drinks and etc., which is allowable for monks. And after offering that, he starts to talk on his affairs. Now the son, the monk, has to listen to him and to discuss in length about that. Now this is going on and on. So kind of a remote thing from us. Nowadays, if you consider a monk's life in a, especially in a village temple, so this is the same situation. In the morning, many upasakammas go to the temple and they offer various foods and the hildanaya thing and start to talk various this and that. And many others also come and start to talk this and that. Various troubles in the country, political situation, corona situation, all blah, blah, blah. And in the evening and in the afternoon, many others again come and offer various gilampasa, and they also start to talk this and that. Now the whole daytime, the morning time, fully occupied. Nowadays actually even more difficult, because now probably they start invite to paritta chanting at the whole night, paritta chanting. Then even the whole night is monk occupied and may be asked to participate on a funeral occasion. That is also there. And if there are paritta chanting for a, say, a kind of an ill person, that also has to be attended. And on top of that, certain monks have their other duties, like, I mean, they are engaged in teaching, etc., maybe in a college, maybe in a monastery, in a pirivena, and such things are also there. So it's an extremely busy life, even though he's a monk now. Now this happened to the prince monk, and he is spending many days, years, but not having enough seclusion. Now this is what we call as Sanghanika Ramata. Sanghanika Ramata is a very interesting term, an important term, especially in the monk's life. And that is what emphasized here, where one start to spend with many others. One is spending one's time with many others, with large company. Now, when the prince monk is going on like this, one Paccheka Buddha, while he was in his attainment, he saw this monk. He understood that now this monk somehow was able to get the permission from king and queen, but unfortunately not getting enough time for his own practice. Now he further recognized, is he going to have some sort of a disenchantment, a sign of disenchantment in the near future according to this situation? Then he understood, no, he is not going to have such situation. For most of the time he is now going to waste on the same situation. It may take long time for him to come to the correct path. Now, this Paccheka Buddha, who is called Aditya Bandhu, is somewhat compassionate to this monk, and he felt, okay, I got to help him. What he did, he also went to that forest, the royal forest or royal garden. And the person who is guarding the monk and attending the monk, recognized the Paccheka Buddha, and he informed the king and queen. And once king and the queen were informed about the arrival of the Paccheka Buddha, so they were quite happy. And the king arrived the forest or the garden, royal garden, and he invited Paccheka Buddha to stay for several days, several months if possible, because now his son is going to have a companionship. Paccheka Buddha is a good companion for my son. So that is how the king thought, because he is living alone and better to have a friend, better to have a spiritual friend. Now, this is typical thinking of the parents. So their parents are continuously thinking about their children. And now the child is going to have a good companion. So this is how the king thought. So he invited the Paccheka Buddha to stay at the same garden. Paccheka Buddha agreed. And now Paccheka Buddha and this prince monk is staying there. They are dwelling there. And one occasion, Paccheka Buddha is asking from the monk, "Who are you?" So it's an interesting question. He probably could ask, "How are you? And how is you are doing?" Something like that. But rather than asking like that, Paccheka Buddha is asking from the monk, "Who are you?" Then this monk replying, telling, "I am a monk." Then Paccheka Buddha is replying, no, monks are not like this. So then the monk again asks, how is the way of the monks? Then actually he explained, proper monks are not like this. They stay in seclusion. They like to stay as a secluded life. And look at this, using his sort of psychic powers, he now show various other Paccheka Buddhas staying in the thick forest with, doing their pindapatha to the village and coming alone and having their meals alone and again doing their duties and spending a lot of time in walking, a lot of time in meditation. So likewise, all the practice-related activities of the monk's life is now shown to this monk. Because nobody was there at that time to learn, but now the Paccheka Buddha showing the typical activities of a monk to this monk, princely monk. Now he understood this is the proper way of doing. And at that time it is said, Paccheka Buddha understood that he is now getting some inspiration and he uttered the first sentence of this verse. Atthanatang sanganika ratasya yampasse samayikam vimutti. What it literally means is, it is impossible for a person who is having many companions even to have a temporary liberation. Temporary liberation, samayikam vimutti. Because even a temporary liberation to have, one has to have a good practice. Suppose you are going for a retreat, maybe 5 days retreat, 7 days retreat, 10 days retreat. So that is a very good opportunity because you are going away from your typical setting and you are leaving aside all the responsibilities. You forget about all the official problems, family problems, country problems, political problems, this and that. And you are going to have your time. That time is for you. So you are going to have a very secluded, kind of a private type of a time. So that has to be lived properly. So if you go into the retreat, if you start to think about various family matters, various problems at your office, and the country situation, political situation, corona situation, then that's a waste of time. But you are going for a retreat indicates that you are now going to have a very good opportunity to reflect about the Dhamma and to practice according to Dhamma as much as possible, to meditate, develop mindfulness, concentration, wisdom. So these spiritual qualities. So that is how it has to be led. So the monk's life is kind of a continuous retreat in that sense. Now, therefore, this Paccheka Buddha is advising him and telling him this first sentence. If one is having too much of companionship with many others, continuously going to have parties, continuously going to have a lot of companionship, many friends, again and again calling, again and again using WhatsApp, again and again using, Facebook, Viber, many, many things are there. And on top of that, you are receiving many emails. On top of that, getting many phone calls. and letters, so many things are there. So if you are going to have all of these, then never going to have freedom of mind, even for temporary time, even for a short time. Now, in order to have at least a temporary freedom, then probably kind of a retreat situation is a very good opportunity. So once going there, okay, you don't talk about with the others and you are minding your own business and trying to practice. And if you do it properly, there is a possibility, there is a higher possibility that you are going to have a temporary freedom. Suppose you are practicing well and going to have a temporary freedom. This temporary freedom is a very good opening in your life. Because so far, you didn't understand this aspect of the life or of the practice. But now you got an opening in your life. Okay, there is such possibility. If I practice well, if I practice diligently, when it comes to a certain stage, I'm going to enjoy such kind of a freedom. Mind does not attach to anything. Mind stay unassociated. And mind does not hold anything, does not grasp anything. There is no burden, there is no heaviness. And it's a kind of a lighter, unattached, non-grasping, spacious situation. So you are going to have a temporary liberation. It's also very important. Very, very important. And once you recognize that, okay, now it's a matter of maximizing it. Now, anyway, so this Paccheka Buddha, after uttering the first sentence of this verse, he risen to the sky and he went away. Now the princely monk, he is now thinking, okay, I get to know the proper path. This Paccheka Buddha is quite compassionate to me. Now I should practice according to... Now this monk is now thinking, so how to do it? Tomorrow morning also my mother will come with many women. They start talking. In the afternoon my father come with many ministers and all these things. He come and again talk on politics, kingdoms, economics, etc., etc. So how to overcome this situation? Now I have to leave this palace. Now he come up with a strategy. As quickly as possible, he went to the place here he is abiding and he start to sleep. Now, actually, he is not really sleeping, but acting like sleeping. The guard who is checking him always, not allowing him to move freely, not allowing him to go away from the palace. So he thought, okay, today monk has gone to sleep early. So why am I wasting my time? I also better sleep early because every day I have to spend time without sleeping. So that is the order of the king. The morning time, queen is looking after the sun. Afternoon and in the evening, king and the ministers are looking after the sun. And from night to next day morning, this assigned soldier is looking after the sun. The monk. So this was the schedule. This was the plan of the king. Now this night, the monk thought to himself, okay, I should leave. Now how to do? So I am going to bed early. So that was noticed by the soldier who was looking after. And he thought, okay, the monk has gone early today to sleep. I also better take a rest. So at that time, monk left the palace and he went to the forest. And after going to the forest, he has practiced really well, really diligently. And he also became a Paccheka Buddha. And he uttered this verse completely. Attanatam sanganika ratasya yampasaye samayikam vimuttim. Adichya bandusya vacho nisamma eko chare kagga visana kappu. It is impossible for one who delights in company even to attain temporary liberation. Having attended to the word of the kingsman of the sun, so that is the name of the Paccheka Buddha, one should live alone like a rhinoceros horn. So this is the inspiration for this Paccheka Buddha. And if we add some more information to this teaching, actually Buddha mentioned some more aspects of the monk's life. If monk has to lead a proper monk life. So for example, in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, Buddha mentioned Yavakivancha Bhikkave Bhikkhu Na Sanghanikarama Bhavissanti Na Sanghanikaramata Na Sanghanikarama Ramata Maniyutta Uddhyayeva Bhikkave Bhikkhunam Patikanka No Parihani. So if one is leading a kind of a secluded life, practicing alone, if that monk is continuing like that, so he is not going to have any kind of downfall. Instead, he is going to thrive in his practice. Now, especially, this is quite true when you are getting the starting. Because at the beginning, you need a fair amount of seclusion in order to settle the mind. Because too much of mental proliferation going on, too much of hindrances are there. So the hindrances are so powerful and the path is not clear enough. So it's a kind of a struggle. So you have to put a lot of effort to calm down the mind, to tame the mind. And once the mindfulness is well established, then it's a matter of further enhancing the insights and to improve the wisdom. So that is another aspect, that is the vipassana. And once you are fairly clear about the path, once you are sure about your own practice and you have some confidence about your own practice, then probably you can try to live with others. You can try to be with others. You can go even for a companionship and see how the mind reacts. So in such situation, actually both ways are possible. Both ways in the sense, in one time of the day, so you are associating others and teaching others or listening to others or doing daily activities. But on the evening or some other time of the day, so you are having kind of a secluded time as well. So that is a kind of a time management. If you are going to have such situation, because now you are confident enough about the practice, you know it is the one to do, and then it's a matter of continuing it for a long time. And others also help in the sense to recognize various defilements deep rooted in the mind. So that only be available when mostly associating others. Without association, that is also very difficult to understand. Because we probably even overestimate ourselves and think that there are no defilements available right now. And probably we can even go to wrong views. But on the other hand, when we start to associate after we developing enough mindfulness, then all activities are very much like overlooked through mindfulness. You know what are the reactions happening in the mind. You know how mind is behaving in a particular situation. Accordingly, you can understand what are the defilements prevailing in the mind. And that's another interesting point mentioned in the Mahasunyata Sutta. Nako ananda bhikkhu sobati sanghanika ramo sanghanika rato sanghanika ramatam anuyutto gana ramo gana rato gana sammudito. Again, Buddha is telling that when a monk is associating too much people, he is being with so many people, being with so many other monks, he is not beautiful. He doesn't really represent the Buddha's teaching. So you can understand how emphasis is given, at least during some time of the day, for the secluded practice. And then Buddha further mentioned, this is a very interesting point, in the Patama Seka Sutta, Buddha mentioned, Panchime Bhikkave Dhamma Sekasa Bhikkhuno Parihanaya Sangvattati. What it means is, there are five causes, five reasons for a trainee, seeker, even to downfall. Now, suppose there is a Sotapanna, a trainee, seeker Puggala. Now, these are five reasons that his downfall can happen. Downfall does not mean here that he again going to the hell realm, or he again going to get Sakkaya Ditti, Vichikiccha, Silabbata Paramasa, and those defilements, rather uprooted fetters. Rather here, his progress is really, really hindered. So he can't have enough progress because of these five reasons. So what are the five reasons? Katame pancha, kamma ramata, too much activities, too much of work. Basa ramata, too much talking, excessive talking. Morning talking, afternoon talking, evening talking, at night talking, too much talking. Then nidda ramata, and too much inclination towards sleep. Sanganika ramata, too much association. He likes to be with others. Sanganika ramata. Yatha vimuttang chittang na paccha vekkati. And once, if the mind is freed for some time, that is not properly recognized. That free mind, free state of the mind is not properly recognized. Not properly appreciated, so that one's mind is staying longer in that freed, more freed state. But unfortunately, it is not recognized, not well appreciated, not given enough importance, value. As a result of that, again and again, mind jumps back to the association of various thoughts, thinking, proliferation, etc. So Buddha mentioned, even for a sake of Puggala, there are reasons that he can't progress really well. He may be going in a long term, especially for example, the maximum number of, say, lifespan, future births assigned for a Sotapanna is typically said seven lifespans, seven lifetimes. Now he, if he stay like this, then definitely he has to spend the same, that kind of seven lifespan, because he is not diligent in the practice. But on the other hand, if a Seka Puggala does the opposite, what are the opposite? Na kamma ramata. He does not involve too much with various activities. He does not take too much responsibilities. He is not taking someone else's responsibilities. He know his limits. And basaramata, na basaramata, he is not keen on too much talking, on and on, going on and on, such kind of conversations, he is not interested. Then niddaramata, na niddaramata, he is not keen on too much sleeping. Even at night, if he gets up, probably spend some time in the meditation, practicing mindfulness, not keen on sleeping. And na sanganika ramata, not interested in having too many friends, not interested in having too many associations, and keeping everyone in distant, not having too much associations. And then yatha vimuttam cittam paccha vekkati, and once the mind is liberated, even for a short time, that is well recognized. That is well understood and well appreciated. So one giving enough emphasis to that liberated mind or liberated state. Now the mind is free from any grasping, no defilements, no attachment, no burden. So the mind, such mind state is well recognized, well appreciated. So then Buddha mentioned such monks, such practitioner is progressing. So you can see how very beautifully Buddha analyzed the situation. Even for a trainee, even for a Seka Puggala, there should be a path, there should be a practice. So even though he or she involved with various other activities, he should take care of his own practice. So with that, I'd like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I'd like to open the session for questions.
Avasarai Bhante, currently. Sorry, there's a feedback there. Anyway, there's five questions. Question number one of five, it's general question. Dear Bhante, thank you for this wonderful session, wonderful practice session, which I've enjoyed more than a year now. My walking and sitting practice is continuing well, and I've been sending reflection reports time to time to this forum and received valuable guidance. Lately, I observed that the inner chatter in my mind has increased exponentially. This can be due to the increase in mindfulness, as you've mentioned some time back, as well as the current circumstances I am in with additional news and concerns around me due to the pandemic. The inner chatter is more or less about day-to-day world incidents, comparisons, excessive thinking, etc., not specific to any valuable matter. I started observing this without giving much attention, and sometimes the thoughts appear like a river with the floodgates open. They appear without any reason when I am involved with some day-to-day work and go away as well after some time, but not immediately. I have some confidence that I can deal with them using the practice. However, I still observe the influx of thoughts are increasing. They don't obstruct my practice as no signs of these excessive thought patterns are there when I'm doing sitting and walking. It is possible to suppress these excessive thoughts by using the practice, for example, focusing on the body during these periods or reducing the amount of news I watch and limiting the information, but thought of checking with Bhante first. With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually, you have given the answer, so I simply have to say yes. Definitely, you've got to reduce the time that you are spending in watching news. And again, in thinking too much. And because thinking itself is really harmful if you are not properly managing it. And as Buddha mentioned in the Madhupindika Sutta, so if we are sort of using our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and the mind, when we are taking their corresponding objects, those are the forms, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, and the mental objects. So if you are not properly managing them, if you are not properly handling them, so they all trigger mental proliferation. So that is where we constantly sort of bombarding happens. So constantly we pollute our mind, constantly we trigger the thinking, and thinking further evolved until the obsessive thinking and ultimately mental proliferation. And we are in a way strengthening all the defilements. But on the other hand, Buddha mentioned, if one is able to keep the mind free from mental proliferation, actually even today morning we discussed that. So if we are able to keep the mind free from mental proliferation, that itself is a very, very strong practice. So that is where sometimes people are quite fond of thinking. So that is why Buddha mentioned papanchabirata paja. This whole people, including the gods and other beings, they all have a tendency to think. If they don't have any other activity, they think. They take a chair and sit comfortably and start thinking again and again, on and on, going on and on. So that is something Buddha mentioned, is the, in a way, we can say, strengthening of all sorts of defilements. But on the other hand, if one is able to manage it, one is able to calm down it, reduce it, then there's a very good results, that is, all the other defilements, especially the deep-rooted defilements, start to weaken. Buddha mentioned different types of anusaya, raga anusaya, patiga anusaya, etc., etc. So all going to weaken. And all sorts of disputes, quarrels, arguments, all those are also going to be settled. Because thinking actually really color the situation, really sort of make it biased and bend the situation. And ultimately, you can't see the proper say reality. So that is where things become more and more difficult. So therefore, as practitioners, if we can't avoid too much thinking, so that indicates we haven't recognized the path. So therefore, especially the Vipassana practitioners, the ones who are developing mindfulness, should be very concerned about avoiding too much thinking. Yeah.
Question number 2 of 7. This is a general question. Dear Swaminwanse, is there a method or technique to identify the hidden tendencies and influxes when one is in the path of improving mindfulness? The method I have grasped from your teaching is to identify a state of mind which is not polluted by these defilements, influxes, and tendencies through the practice first. Afterwards, identify the friction of these pollutants once they arise in the mind against the pure state, which will enable not reacting and dwelling with them, which weakens and destroys them in the long run. Is my understanding correct, and anything further we can do about the above scenario? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, and what you are mentioning is very true. So first of all, we need to understand the free mind. So as even today we discussed, so that temporary liberation has to be well understood, has to be given enough emphasis, has to be well appreciated. So then sort of rather than we incline towards proliferation, so then our mind start to get inclined towards calming down, experiencing some inner silence. So that kind of a reorientation happens in the mind. Typically, mind is attuned towards too much thinking, but now we are attuned to a different channel, so that is calming down. Mind like to stay quiet, and you start to enjoy inner silence. So that is another opening in the mind. So therefore, so what you are mentioning is very correct, and that is one strategy. And this is in a way the best strategy we can say. And on the other hand, so whenever thoughts are coming to the mind, and there are many other techniques mentioned, say for example, understanding their impermanent nature, or understanding how they are constructed, or understanding once you are going through some sort of a grasping, so that how much burden is there in that grasping state, and how you feel uncomfortable in that grasping state, how much you are unsatisfied or suffering at that state. So likewise, you understand the negative aspects of that grasping state. So as a result of that, now the mind start to incline or understand the consequences of this grasping, and so he is leaving aside all those say weaknesses and inclined towards the freedom. So therefore, different techniques are mentioned. So what you have mentioned is also a very interesting technique. Yes.
Question number 3 of 7. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, can you please explain what are bhava sanyojana with metta? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, we can talk in different, two aspects. So bhava tanha basically has deeply rooted in the mind that mind always look for the next moment. So today is Sunday, so but you have a kind of a curiosity about tomorrow, and you are sort of waiting to have Monday. I'm going to do this tomorrow. So when you are in Monday, you have a kind of an inclination towards Tuesday. While you are in Tuesday, you have an inclination towards Wednesday. So likewise, so mind is always inclined towards a future event. So you are always going after something. You want to become something, or you want to become someone. So this inclination is one aspect of tanha, and that is the desire to become, bhava tanha. So this is a deeply rooted fetter in the mind called bhava sanyojana. So we are attached to that sort of a tendency in the mind, or such tendencies available in the mind. So going on and on. So assume that you are now in, say, one particular state in your, say, in your occupation, but you want to have another state. You want to have another state. You want to have one increment. You have to have another increment. You want to have one house. You want to have another house. So likewise, so going on and on. So how about next life then? So now you can even expand this inclination towards next moment to desire to become someone or to have something in the future. So that is even expanded towards next life. So in this life, I couldn't be with her. So how about being with her on next life? So this is how we think, right? So if you assume that you broken up kind of a affair, so you are worrying, okay, can't help. Her father didn't allow. I can't have a battle with them. Let's have her on the next life. So likewise, so we have that inclination, the desire for the future events. Again and again, inclined towards the future event. And that is called bhava samyojana. Yeah.
Question number 4 of 7. This is a general question. Dear Bhante, this question is related to general practice, including sitting and walking. To give a bit of context, I live alone and find it really helpful for the practice. My parents live in another country. However, they come to this country and visit me. Last time they stayed for 3 months. This created a great disruption. My mother was talking, which I didn't like, and Dad had his opinion about the world, about establishing identity and associating relatives. Anyways, they went back. I'm so glad it's locked down now and no one can come. Recently, a relative in Sri Lanka called for 1 hour and was telling me to treat the parents. I told that relative they are getting treated. And if you influence to disturb me, I'm going to shave my head, wear a robe and walk out. Bhante, honestly, I'm glad I'm born for good parents, yet this birth I received I'm using for the realization of it. Your advice, much appreciated, with metta. That's the end.
Yeah, interesting. It was very, I mean, for you actually today's sermon may be mentioned by that Paccheka Buddha. So he is really interestingly mentioned the morning mother come and start to feed and talk and this and that. The afternoon and in the evening, father come and talk about politics, economics, country situation, world situation, corona situation, etc. Same thing. So you can apply how this kind of a thing is quite common in the world. Actually, I don't know who is asking this question. Actually, some real thing happened in Nisarwane also. One young person who couldn't, I mean, just about to complete his, university degree. So he came and spent some time at Nisarwane. Very quickly, he actually was able to develop mindfulness. And he actually even started to enjoy temporary liberation, say some freedom of the mind. So it's very interesting. So he is now not really like to hear what mother is talking, what father is talking. So same thing. Because, you know, I mean, when compared with the very elderly people, so young people's minds are quite pure in that sense. But unfortunately, this technology and smartphones, WhatsApp, this and that, Facebook and everything is actually destroying the young minds. But if he is able to maintain it, protect it, then the young people's minds are quite pure. And it's a matter of guiding them in the proper direction. So if we are able to guide them in the proper direction, even before this old people, definitely they will understand Dhamma. Because Buddha's teaching is very direct and properly shown the path. So if one is diligently practicing, honestly practicing, so definitely it will produce results. So I simply have to say, different sides are there. I mean, to what extent are we helping our parents? So there may be various ways of helping parents. But on the other hand, if we understand, okay, this is the something to do, this is the proper way to practice, but my parents couldn't understand it, then what to do? I mean, it is good that if we can convince them. But if not, we better mind our own business. Yeah.
Question number 5 of 7 is actually in Sinhalese, so I might give it to Auntie to read out instead.
දැනට අවුරුදු එකහමාරක පමණ සිට සතිමත් පර්යන්ත භාවනාව කරගෙන යන අතර මීට මාස 3ක පමණ සිට ඉතාම උනන්දුවක් ඇති වී තිබෙන අතර දැන් දිනපතාම පැයක කාලයක් පමණ කාලයක් උදේ පාන්දරින් භාවනා කොට අනිත් වැඩ කටයුතු පටන් ගනී. කමඨාන විද්‍යට මම භාවිතා කරන්නේ උදරයේ පිම්බීම සහ හැකිලීමයි. දැන් ඉතාමත් ඉක්මනට උදරයේ පිම්බීම සහ හැකිලීම වේගය අඩුවන අතර හිත ඉතා ඉක්මනින් සමතයකට පත්වන බවක් දැනේ. නමුත් විටින් විට හිත වෙනත් අතට යන අතර යන බව ඉතා ඉක්මනින් හඳුනාගෙන නැවත කමඨහන වෙත යොමු කර ගැනීමට සමත් වේ. උදරයේ පිම්බීම සහ හැකිලීම සම්පූර්ණයෙන් සමතයකට පත් වීමට පෙර මාගේ පාදයේ යටිපතුලින් පටන් ගන්න සීතල මුළු සිරුර පුරාම ෂණයෙන් ගමන් කරන අතර කකුල් වලින් නලියන ගතියක් දැනෙනද පටන්ගෙන එය තොරණක බල්බ් ගමන් කරන ආකාරයට ඉතා වේගයෙන් සිරුර පුරා තැනින් තැනට මාරු වෙන්නට පටන් ගනී. මේ අතරතුර එළියේ ශබ්ද වලටද හිත යන අතර නැවතත් සිරුරේ වෙන වෙනස්කම් වෙතට හිතගෙන ඊමට පුළුවන් කමක් ඇත. ඉන්පසු මගේ හෘද ස්පන්දනය ඉතා වේගවත් වන අතර අත්සහ කකුල් සම්පූර්ණයෙන් හිරිවැටි වාගේ දැනේ. නමුත් මම එය පරීක්ෂා කර බැලීමට යන්නේ නැත. හෘද ස්පන්දන වේගය අඩුව යන අතර මගේ හිත සම්පූර්ණයෙන්ම නැවතී ඇති බවක් සහ ඉතාමත් ශාන්තියක් දැනේ. විටින් විට නැවත උදරයේ පිම්බීම සහ හැකිලීම ඉතා සියුම්ව දැනේ. පැය සීනුව නාද වනතෙක් මම මේ ආකාරයට පරයන්ගේ නිරත වේ. කකුල සහ අත් තිබෙන බවක් නොදැනේ. නමුත් භාවනාවේ අවසානයේ බලන විට මගේ සිරුර හිරිවැටි නොමැති නැති බව හිරිවැටි නොමැති බව දැන ඉතා සතුටට පත් වේ. මීට වඩා වැඩි කාලයක් වුණත් දිගටම මේ ආකාරයට ඉඳගෙන ඉන්නට පුළුවන් කමක් ඇත. මේ අත්දැකීම එක දිගටම සුළු වෙනස්කම් සහිතව දිනපතා අත්විඳි. මම මේ කරගෙන යන භාවනාව නිවැරදිද යන බවත් එසේනම් තවදුරටත් මේ දියුණු කර ගැනීමට උපදෙසක් සහ උපදෙසක් ඉතා ගෞරවයෙන් ඉල්ලා සිටිමි. මුලදී විනාඩි 5ක්වත් එක දිගට භාවනා කරන්නට හිත නොතිබ්බ මට දැන් මේ ආකාරයට භාවනාව කරගෙන යෑමට අද දුන් ඔබ වහන්සේට මේ සංවිධායක මදුල්ලටත් මාගේ ගෞරවය පුද කරමි. ඔබ වහන්සේට තෙරුවන්
සරණයි. ඉතින් ඇත්තටම මේ හොඳක් හොඳයි. ඉතින් ඔක්කොම තමයි දිගට කරන්න තියෙන්නේ. ඒ කියන්නේ ඔය තත්ත්වයට හිතපත් වෙන්න ගත වෙන කාල පරිච්ඡේදය එන්න අඩු වෙනවා. ඒ කියන්නේ වැඩි වෙලාවක් යන කලින් හිත ඔය වගේ තත්ත්වයකටපත් වෙනවා. පත්තලා ඊට පස්සේ ඒක තුල වැඩි වෙලාවක් ඉන්න පුළුවන්කම ලැබෙනවා. ඒ කියන්නේ හිතන්න දැන් ওই තත්ත්වයටපත් වෙන්න ගිය මාසෙ අපි හිතමු විනාඩි 45ක් හොඳට සතිය දිනු කරගෙන පිම්බීම හැකිලිම දිහා බලාගෙන ඒ කයේ දැනෙන විවිධ සංවේදනා දිහා බලාගෙන ඉන්න උනා. ප්‍රසන්න විනාඩි 45කට පස්සේ හිත හොඳ මේ නිශ්ශබ්ද බවකට සංසිඳීමකටපත් වුණා. ප්‍රය කාලයක් විතර ඔන්න ඒක ඉන්න පුළුවන් වුණා. ඊපස්සේ තින් ඕක විනාඩි 45කට කලින් සිද්ධ වෙනවා. විනාඩි 40න් සිද්ධ වෙනවා. විනාඩි 15ක් නෙමෙයි 20ක් ඊට පස්සේ ඒ தත්ත්වය තුළ ඒ தත්ත්වය පවත් ගන්න පුළුවන් වෙනවා. ඊපස්සේ අපි හිතමු ඔන්න විනාඩි 35න් ওই தත්ත්වයට එනවා. විනාඩි 25ක් ඉන්න පුළුවන් හම් වෙනවා. ඊළඟට විනාඩි 30න් ඔතෙන්ට එනවා. විනාඩි 30ක්ම ඒ தත්ත්වය තුළ ඉන්න පුළුවන්කම ලැබෙනවා. ඔන්න ඔය වගේ පොඩ පොඩ අර මේ ස්වභාවය තුළ හිත පවත්වන්න පුළුවන් ගතිය වැඩි වෙවි යනවා. එතකොට අන්න මේ தත්ත්වය අපිට නිකන් gedara වගේ බවට පත් වෙනකන් අපි පුරුදු කරන්න අවශ්‍ය. ඊට පස්සේ අපි ඒ කියන්නේ ඒක gedara බවට පත් වෙනවා කියන්නේ ඒක තහවුරු වෙනකන් අපි මේ ව්‍යායාමයේ දරන්න ඕනේ. يعني ඉස්සෙල්ලා හොඳට මෙතන පිහිටව ගන්න ඕනේ. හිත හොඳට මෙතන පළපදියම් කර ගන්න ඕනේ. මෙතන අල්ලන්න දෙයක් නැහැ. විශේෂ මේ උපාදානයක්වත් නැහැ. එතන තියෙන්නේ හුදු දැනුවත් බවක් විතරයි. මේ දැනුවත් බව තුළ සාවධානව ඉන්නවා. ඉතින් පුංචි සමාධි ගතියක් හැදෙනවා. මේ සමාධිමත් බව තුළ ජීවත් වෙනවා අපිටම වැඩි නඩ 45ක් 50ක් විතර හිටියනම් ඇති. මේ මට්ටමට එනකොට හිතට ඒක හොඳට රෙජිස්ටර් වෙලා. හිතේ හොඳට ඒක හඳුනාගෙන හිත මෙන්න මෙහෙමත් ඉන්න පුළුවන් කියලා විශ්වාසය හිතේ ගොඩ නැගිලා. ඊට පස්සේ පුළුවන් ඒක සක්මනේදි කළා බලන්න. සක්මනේදි කෙලින්ම එතනට දාලා බලනවා. වෙන මොකක්වත් අභ්‍යාසයක් නොකර දාලා බලනවා. දැන් හිතේ රෙජිස්ටර් වෙලානේ තියෙන අර ස්ටේට් එක. එතකොට නිකම්ම එතනට දාලා බලනවා පුළුවන් ද ඒක පවත්වන්න. අමාරුයි. මොකද රූප පේනවා, ශබ්ද ඇහෙනවා. එතකොට එන්නත් දාලා සිතුවිලි එනවා. ඉතින් එතකොට අරක කැඩෙනවා. හැබැයි එතනම තමයි ප්‍රැක්ටිස් එක තියෙන්නේ. දැන් කැඩි හදනවා. කැඩෙන වාරයක් පාසා හදනවා. සිය දහස් වාරේ කැඩෙන්න ඉඩ හරිනවා. කඩන වාරයක් පාසා ආයෙත් අපෙන්ට ගන්න. මේ විදිහට කරන්න මේක නිකන් අර සීසන් වෙනවා වගේ ගතියක්. අර ඒකට බාධා කරන විවිධාකාර කෙලෙස් දුර්වල වෙන ගතියක්. අපි ඒවා අල්ලන්න නැතුව අතාරින ගතියක්. මේවා හුදෙක් සිතුවිලි පමණයි. මේ සිතුවිලි වලින් තමයි මේ හිතේ තියෙන නිදහස් ස්වභාවයට බාධා කරන්නේ කියලා තමන්ට තේරෙන්න ගන්නවා. ඉතින් ඔය වගේ අපි මේක බහුලීකృత කරමින් යන්නයි තියෙන්නේ. එතකොට අන්න අපිට අපේ හිතේ තියෙන විවිධාකාර කෙලෙස් විවිධාකාර මුල් බැස ගැනීම ඊළඟට මොනවාද සංයෝජන කියලා අපි කියන දේවල් ඒ සියල්ල ඉතින් පොඩ පොඩ හඳුනා ගන්න පුළුවන්කමක් ලැබෙනවා. අර කලින් ප්‍රශ්නයක තිබුණේ අපි හඳුනා ගන්නවා ඉස්සෙල්ලා පිරිසුදු ස්වභාවයක් හිතේ ඒකට සාපේක්ෂව දැන් අපිරිසුදු බව නැත්නම් අපිරිසුදු තත්ත්වයක් හඳුනා ගන්න පුළුවන්. මේ දෙක ඉබේටම වගේ සංසන්දනය කිරීමක් සිද්ධ වෙනවා. ඊට පස්සේ ඒක අත්හැරලා දානවා. ඒ කියන්නේ හිතේ බරක් දැනෙන හිතට පීඩාකාරී වෙන එහෙම නැත්නම් හිත හකුළුවන හිත හිර කරන බර කරන ආතතිගත කරන ඒ தත්ත්වය අත්හැරලා දාලා ආයෙත් හිත බොහොම නිදහස් සරල කොහෙවත් බැනිච්ච නැති தත්ත්වයට ආයෙත් ගන්නවා. ඉතින් මේ විදිහට දිගට දිනු කරගෙන යන්නයි තියෙන්නේ. හොඳයි.
Question number 7 of no, sorry 6 of 8 general question. Dear Bhante, in today's Dhamma talk, you mentioned about Shunyata Sutta several times. What does each mean? Do they all reflect non-chatting nature? Much appreciation with metta, that's the end.
Yeah, I mean, so if I refer that part, what Buddha mentioned, Nako Ananda Bhikkhu Sobati Sanganika Ramo Sanganika Rato සංගණිකා රාමතං අනුයුක්තු ගණාරාමෝ ගණරතෝ ගණසම්මුදිතෝ. So basically, so they are actually what Buddha mentioned is that a monk specially does not represent the proper monkhood when he is with too many people. Now the typical setting what we think is that when a monk is associating too many people, too many disciples, too many followers, and he's always with so much of people. So then we think, okay, he's really representing the sasana. But Buddha talks the opposite. But when one has less associations, when one has his own time, for his own practice even, and not too many companions, so that is what Buddha see is more encouraging, more beneficial for his practice. So therefore, it is different from our values, what we give. I mean, typically we think when we have too many relatives, when we have too many friends, when we have so much associations, too many contact numbers, so then according to that, we think, okay, we are rich. I am famous. So likewise we think. But Buddha talks opposite. He says, probably you may have few good friends and you may have say less associations. So with that, okay, you have your time to your own practice. So that is how Buddha emphasized in the Mahasunyata Sutta about the proper monkhood. Yes.
Question number 7 of 8. This is also a general question. Dear Bhante, related to the Dhamma talk, what are the practical indications or evidence that one can use to identify the released mind or the pure mind if we stumble across it for a short time during the practice? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, actually, the point is, as Bhante Dhammaji also constantly emphasized, so this is not something very far. Actually, the practitioners actually experience it. But the point is, we are not giving enough value to it. Say, for example, where we give value. So, say, you are given a promotion. Then you give a value to it. Say, someone is praising you. You are the best. You are the person. Okay, you are the very beautiful. Okay, you are the smartest. So, then we give a value. We appreciate. So this is how the typical value system is based on. So where our individuality is emphasized, where our personality is more emphasized, where I as a person is given the best place, the most, say, the foremost place, then I like that. So this is the typical value system. But in the Vipassana meditation, we come to a state, okay, we are looking at various phenomena. It may be bodily phenomena, it may be feelings, it may be various mental states. So we recognize how impermanent they are, how quickly they arise and pass away. Constantly we start to observe that again and again. So when we constantly observe that, so they lose their interest, or I mean their different distinct characteristics start to decay. Start to disappear. Now everything appears like a flux. Now mind is not that interested in that kind of a flux. So this flux is further and further going little by little far away. Start to disappear. And there is nothing to grasp now. On such situation, there is no kind of a state of the mind to recognize there is an I. So where am I? So that I making has temporarily stopped. And you are not, you don't want to associate anything. You don't want to claim this flux is mine because it's a flux. It's not interesting. So likewise, this kind of a change in the mind happen. So, but I mean, anyway, you don't need to worry. Now, even today, several reports are there talking that result. So at the beginning it may be a little difficult, but the path, the practice leads to that state. I am not telling this state is the final, but it's a very significant achievement in our meditation practice. So if we continue our practice, if we continue our daily practice, definitely we will reach that. So when we reach that, so this kind of discussions and the proper, say, guidance help us to understand it. Okay, then you also understand, okay, someone else is talking in some same situation. I also experience this. Why not? So the monk is, Bhante is talking about it. Okay, yes, yes, I also experienced it. So likewise, so now you get a kind of opening in your mind, because actually very difficult to think that I myself recognize it if there is no support coming from the Buddha's teaching. That is why actually the Buddha understood so these different milestones in the practice. So then he very beautifully sort of analyzed and he beautifully explained them. So as a result of that, we can go in the correct path. Without that, it is very difficult. So Buddha is the one who given this value or emphasis. So this kind of a situation of the mind. We ourselves can't do it because we give wrong values. Where we sort of give value to the place or situation where I is emphasized, where my individuality is emphasized. But when Buddha talks, when Buddha preaches, and when we think in line with his teaching, then probably we come to a situation, okay, this is something, this is some area, okay, there I couldn't find an I couldn't find kind of a mind, I couldn't find any attachment, couldn't find any grasping. So likewise, we can, according to the Buddha's teaching, we start to analyze the situation. So then actually there's a higher possibility we are able to recognize these states. Yeah.
Bhante, we've gone over time, but there's one more question. Is it okay?
Yeah, fine. Okay. Yeah.
Question number 8 is the last one. General question. Dear Bhante, when one's mind wanders and starts to dwell in excessive thoughts, is there a recommended time limit or threshold of time to pull yourself back? What is a good reminder or limit to set for yourself? Thank you. With metta, that's the end of the question.
So there is no such, I mean, any, actually at the very moment you understood, okay, there is no point of thinking like this. So it's a kind of a distraction. So why are you asking kind of a scale? So as quickly as possible, return back. So that is what Buddha mentioned in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta. So if you understood, assume that you are able to maintain a free mind. But now mind has distracted towards something and now it is thinking something unnecessary. But now, okay, at some moment you recognize it. Then try to come back, return to the state as quickly as possible. I mean, there are differences. Actually, Buddha mentioned that you can take different approaches in order to return. You can understand the present situation. That means the distracted situation is somewhat feeling burdened, somewhat sort of, say, congested, or mind has become somewhat congested. You enjoyed some kind of a spaciousness in the mind, but now you lost it. Previously, mind is quite clear, but it is now colored with so many signs. So likewise, you can reflect what has happened to the mind. So previously, it was quite pure, very clean, but now it is associating too many signs. Maybe so much thinking going on and sort of anxiety is now growing. So likewise, you understand the consequences or repercussions of this distracted state, the attached state, and then slowly leave it aside and return back to that pure state. Yeah, you can listen to and read Indriya Bhavana Sutta where Buddha emphasized this returning back to this unattached state and dwelling there as much as possible. And dwelling there does not mean that you are sort of dwelling with very high concentration, rather dwelling there comfortably, dwelling there with some effortless mindfulness. So kind of awareness is there, but you are dwelling in the sense kind of a, how to say, etam santam, etam panitam, yadidam upekha. So this is how Buddha explains it. It is sublime, it is more spacious, quite clean. That is the equanimity. Equanimity of that non-grasping state. Yeah, okay.
That was the last question. There's just a small announcement before we finish up. Because we had a small daylight saving time zone change here. If there's anyone from the UK, if you do have daylight saving or other like upcoming time zone changes, please let us know so we can update the times and the communications that we actually send out. With that, I'd like to finish up with the program. First of all, to thank Bhante for all the valuable advice given in this session, as well as passing on our merits. And also to the people working behind the scenes and also those seen and unseen participating. and last to the participants, because without you there would be no program. Therawan Sanai.
Yeah, Therawan Sanai, Suti Hotu.